This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. Here in California, thanks to the 2004 Paid Family Leave Act, new moms are entitled to 6 partially paid weeks of bonding time with their babies. You might think that having some paid time off would help working mothers keep up their income after having a child, but a new study examining the effect of that law found it may hurt new moms financially. The study found that they lost, on average, $24,000 in wages in the 10 years after the law took effect. Elena Patel is one of the authors of the study. She's a finance professor at the University of Utah. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Well, were you surprised when you got a look at your findings?
Yeah, we were surprised, I think especially by the long-term impacts, because it was such a relatively small increase for what we have in the United States. You went from only 6 to 12 weeks. So to see such persistent impacts over a decade was surprising to us.
Right. So what's the root of it? What did you find?
So we found that for new moms, they do see a decrease in wages for those moms that took up paid family leave in 2004. And we spent a lot of time puzzling over what could possibly be driving this result. Of course, advocates who are in favor of paid family leave, when they talk about it, they generally talk about the way that paid leave helps a mom stay attached to her employer. So, for example, if a mom can't stay attached and has to take time off and then look for a job, that can be costly for the firm and also costly for the mom having lost firm-specific human capital. So this is a lot of the reason why advocates champion paid family leave as something to help attachment. And we can look at this directly because we rely on tax data for our analysis, which helps you see employment to attachment to employers. And in this case, we don't see any improved attachment to employers for women. So if you put that aside, we tried to think about what could be driving lower wages for these mothers in California in 2004. And what we fixate on are the clues in the tax data that can help us think about this. So there's two channels. It could be that employers are discriminating against new moms, and of course we would worry about that. And so they might be less likely to hire and promote women if women are more costly employees compared to men with paid leave. And this is a little bit the criticism about paid family leave policies. You might be concerned about this discrimination. At the same time, moms can choose to opt out. And both of these are going to have a negative impact on wages when you look at all mothers, whether they're being discriminated against or whether they choose to opt out. And what we try to do is disentangle which of these is likely to be the driving force for the decrease in wages. So our evidence suggests that it's more likely that moms are opting out because the impact that we see, the depression in wages, is for new moms. So for moms who had a first birth in 2004 compared to moms who had a second, third, or fourth child in 2004. And that suggests that it's unlikely that employer discrimination is really driving the negative wage result. It's hard to imagine that employers are discriminating against new moms differentially from moms that already have children. Mm-hmm. And makes it more likely that it's probably that moms are opting out of the labor force. And then the tax data have other clues about this as well. Opting out doesn't necessarily mean you fully separate. It could just mean that you switch to part-time employment, which would look like reduced wages in the tax data. It could be that moms are looking for more flexible work options, and we do see evidence in the tax data that new mothers are more likely to be self-employed after paid family leave. And all of these things are going to look like a decrease in wages, but actually reflect moms sort of looking for more flexible work after they've had a child.
And they have the cushion to do so because they've got some money coming in.
Up to 12 weeks. Yep. So for up to 12 weeks after the birth, the first 6 weeks is covered by a law that was pre-existing in California. The short-term disability insurance program provides 6 weeks of leave. And then after the passage of paid family leave, moms get an extra 6 weeks. So those 12 weeks are the paid leave that moms can take post-birth.
Okay. But so they might feel, okay, I've got 12 weeks of partially paid leave. I can maybe not return to work as quickly or as fully because I've got this money. And during that time off, maybe I'll be looking for other work.
Or it could be that moms sort of are just, I think that the channel that this is driven by for new moms, that there's something very intuitive going on about how well you're able to bond with your child in the first 12 weeks, 18 weeks, 20 weeks after birth. And we think that the extra 6 weeks at home between 6 and 12 weeks is really improving the relationship and well-being of mothers and their children, and that it's this experience that's driving moms to potentially work a little bit less, seek more flexible arrangement, and other things that would manifest into lower wages. So we use census data to think about this question because the tax data aren't really well-suited to answer sort of bonding between mothers and children. But in the census, we see evidence that for these moms that first had access to paid leave, they are more likely to eat breakfast with their kids, to take them on outings, and to read with them, which is all really consistent with this notion of the extra 6 weeks at home is really improving the relationship and bonding between mother and child.
But what about dads? Did you study dads? Because it's paid family leave.
So yep. Dads can take it. So we did look at dads. That's right. So dads, there's no gender restrictions written into the law as it stands. But the truth is that despite being a gender neutral policy, dads are much less likely to take up the policy, especially in 2004. So for moms, it was about 20% take up. But for dads, it was more like 3 or 4%. So we do study the impact on dads of paid family leave. But in light of the low take up, it's perhaps not surprising that we don't really see any impact of paid family leave on employment or attachment or wages. There's just no result there for dads.
And one of your conclusions was also surprising, that paid leave led women to have fewer children. First of all, how did you make that connection, and why was it?
So the tax data can be linked with the Social Security data. So for all these women that had access to paid leave in 2004, we can follow them and their fertility for 10 years going forward. We do see a small decrease in the number of children born. That's consistent, again, with this notion of if you increase the quality of relationship that you have with your children, economics would suggest that you would reduce the quantity of children that you have. And so this is all really consistent with this notion of mothers are having higher quality relationships with their children as a result of the paid family leave.
Why would you have fewer children if you have higher quality connections?
It sort of increases the cost of parenting. So if you're putting more effort into the children that you have, you're less likely to have more children.
Because it just costs more to have more?
It's just more costly. And I don't necessarily mean dollars spent, just the sort of investment that you make in your relationship with your children.
So what is your conclusion after going through these findings when it comes to paid family leave? Because here in California, the governor is proposing expanding it.
So I think it's important to keep in mind what the policy goal is. I think that paid family leave has been billed as a silver bullet to help women stay attached to the labor force. The evidence in California is not consistent with this, but I'm not sure that that should be the policy goal. We do see positive impacts on moms and their relationship with kids. And if you view the $24,000 as an investment in your children rather than a reduction in wages, this could still be a policy that's achieving what California is setting out to achieve. Certainly, this is something that is looked at in Europe as well, where there are more pervasive and much more generous paid leave policies than exist in the United States. And the policy goal there is not singularly focused on women's attachment to the labor force. It's focused on family and well-being. And from that perspective, I don't think California has missed the mark. I just think it's important to keep in mind what you're trying to do with these policies.
Elena Patel teaches finance at the University of Utah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, the Morrissey problem for Latinx fans. That's next on Press Play.